Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
We are going to have a discussion right now with Prashant Somasundaram, the general manager of The Projector, our favorite local art house theater in Beach Road, and Jasmine Ng, the filmmaker, co-founder, current president of the Singapore Association of Motion Picture Professionals and the first vice president of AWARE. Prashant, Jasmine, good morning.
Good morning,
guys. Good
morning. It's great. It's so wonderful to have you here early on a Saturday morning. And we've got a great film to talk about called Half the Picture. And Prashant, why don't you tell us first a little bit about this film since it's going to be screening at The Projector?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, so we've launched our Women Make Film Festival last night with Antigone. And that, you know, was quite well attended. And today we are having this film called Half the Picture, which addresses women and why there's not so many women directors in Hollywood, which is a great thing and timely because if you look at the last Oscars, so many women directors were overlooked.
We discussed this quite a lot on the show.
Greta Gerwig, I remember, for Little Women, amongst many others.
Yes, Celine Sciamma for Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which we also screening at The Projector. So we thought it would be an interesting documentary. But we decided to organize a panel after the screening, and that's where Jasmine came in, and we've got some Singaporean female filmmakers and also representatives from AWARE to talk about women in the Singapore film industry.
Yeah, and Jasmine, why was it important for you at AWARE to get involved in this project?
I guess it's one of those things, you know, as a filmmaker who at the same time also volunteers with AWARE and serve on the board, I think it's one of those things where it's through a documentary like this, you get to join the dots. Right, because quite often, I think in any kind of situation, you want to be recognized for your self-worth, your value, or your talent as a creative, as a filmmaker, but you are not working in isolation, right? You're working in a system, you're working in very, very social environments, and filmmaking is a tough business. It shouldn't be any tougher for the women than it is for the men, and it's kind of important, you know, as you're watching the film. I mean, I've seen the film already, and it's one of those films where when you watch and you can't help nodding your head every few seconds, you go like, I know exactly what she's talking about.
Which, not necessarily in a good way, right?
Not necessarily in a good way.
What kind of things were you nodding at?
So, you know, I think it's the kind of thing where what's interesting is men, I guess, you know, they may not realize it, but you almost have this privilege to be mediocre. But for women, you're given this extraordinarily high bar to clear to then say you're worth it or you're good enough, right? So in a weird way, we're saying until women have the right to be as mundane and mediocre in the large numbers, you know, because a lot of the filmmakers that you see in the documentary, there are kind of outliers in the same way that many of the men whose names you recognize, they're like the big names, right? Yeah. But it still remains that it's a profession where lots of people are kind of like jobbing directors and they do decent work, but it's decent work, but it's not extraordinary. So a lot of men do that kind of work and are not helped to that sort of bar that we're giving women. So it's, and the other thing that was raised was the idea that, you know, you're asked to get your foot in, you're asked questions like, have you already done a big feature film or have you already done television, right? And if you're not given, you know, at least, you know, to have that door crack open a little bit or somebody to say, hey, you know, come on in through and try it, right? Then how do you get a portfolio started?
Well, I mean, as two white, middle-class, heterosexual men, I understand your struggle. I really do. It's been a lifelong struggle for me. No, I think it's a wonderful thing that you're showing. I mean, Prashant, what was your inspiration for showing this documentary? And just backtrack a little bit and tell our listeners a little bit about the documentary, what it's actually about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Half the Picture essentially is Talking Heads, an interview kind of documentary with a lot of female directors from Hollywood, like Ava DuVernay. But it really addresses, you know, certain glass ceilings that are experienced or, you know, certain elements like why they don't get the exposure or profiling that other, you know, male directors may get easily. But I think what we felt was that we needed to connect it to the Singapore context. And we are familiar with all the female filmmakers on this panel. But every time when we talk to them, the focus has largely been on films and not really their experience, you know, leading these works. And so we thought it would be an interesting discussion to have because it always seems something so foreign, like this happens in Hollywood only. But to be frank, we don't know what the local situation is and if we can do anything to elevate these female filmmakers. So that's why then I reached out to Jasmine to see if that was something that we could do.
And Jasmine, as a filmmaker, you've done a lot across different platforms from film to TV, online. What is the status of women directors in Singapore right now?
So I think at a glance, it's quite easy to mention quite a few names, right? Just who are the women filmmakers in Singapore? There's Tan Pin Pin, there's Eva, there's, you know, Kirsten Tan, Wee Li Lin, Sun Ko. There's quite a lot of women filmmakers whom you can think of. But predominantly, it has been filmmakers in the indie scene. So, you know, it's the kind of situation where it's kind of like when you're in the indie cinema scene, it's kind of like punk rock ethos, right? It's a DIY thing where you just do your own. Right. And to start with, in Singapore, it's a very small commercial scene. There's kind of like Jack Neo, and waiting to fill those dots, right?
But do you think the commercial scene is generally male dominated anyway to begin with? A lot of our successful films are national service films. You know, there's three or four of those films. Then you've got Army Days going back 20 years.
Sure.
A lot of the more successful Singapore that I can think of, Singapore centric commercial films, do tend to be very male oriented, don't they?
For now,
we ought to correct it. I agree completely.
I think even as just a purely commercial business decision, it's exactly it. You're missing half the picture. You're missing half the revenue. You're missing half the demographic, right, the population. So I think there's a lot of other rich stories that need to be told. And maybe instead of having endless sequels, you know, let's maybe tread some new ground.
But this is an interesting topic because this is happening everywhere, but particularly the US. For the longest time, of course, I'm simplifying, but for the longest time, we couldn't have a female superhero because it wouldn't play and there's no demographic for it and there's no commercial value to it. And then along comes Captain Marvel, and it's a billion-dollar movie. And I found it fascinating from a parent's perspective, because as a father of only a daughter, I don't have any other children. She was getting very fed up with the fact that the Avengers kept focusing on the men. And so it was fascinating to see it from a young female perspective that she, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Endgame, firstly, there's something wrong with you, but if you haven't seen Endgame, I'm about to give you a spoiler. When Black Widow dies, I've never seen my daughter cry. And she just kept saying, why her? The only woman in the film, why her? And I just, for the first time ever, I thought I'd park my white male privilege at the door, because I'm so used to seeing myself on the screen that you need sometimes a young, or any, but particularly a young, innocent female perspective to show you I'm not being depicted on the screen enough. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And then, you know, as soon as they make a start, you know, with Captain Marvel and then with Wonder Woman, right? And all of a sudden they realize, and Black Widow, and all of a sudden people realize there's money to be made.
Yeah.
And it just takes that one person to set that difference. It requires like people who are in privileged positions to say, let's try.
Yeah.
You know, and then afterwards, there'll be a domino effect exponentially that would grow. Right. And that importance of seeing yourself on screen, and that goes for not just women, but minorities.
Yeah.
You know?
Black Panther is another good example.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it was like great rollicking, you know, classic cinema, right? It's the kind of things that you go to the movies for. It's great entertainment. At the same time, you can pack a lot in there that will make a difference to the kind of audience who never felt catered for.
We're speaking with Jasmine Ng, the Singaporean filmmaker, and also Prashant Somasundaram, the general manager of the Projector Film House. And Prashant, you know, the Projector is often doing these types of films and then a Q&A discussion after. And what is it about your mission that you feel it's so important to open up the topic, not just to show the film, but to really engage with Singaporeans and other people in Singapore?
Well, I mean, when we started out, it was the focus was largely on entertainment and on bringing an audience. But we felt the need to create a community. And especially in these times, I think, you know, having that sense of community is really quite important. So there is a level of education that we're looking at in whatever programming that we do. Even for the entertainment stuff, we try and dig a little deeper and address issues that were brought in or addressed in these films. So it's the only way that we see ourselves also value adding to an experience compared to going to a multiplex you just go in anonymously, you know, watch a thing and then leave, which is a different experience in itself.
Sure.
But how we are trying to distinguish ourselves is to value add to the whole experience of going to the cinema and leaving with something more value-added from that.
Yeah, now this film will show three times, correct?
Yes, that's right.
It's today, the 29th of March at 5:30, and then the 11th of March at, sorry.
3 p.m.
At 3 p.m. 11th of March has already passed, though.
11th April.
11th April, excuse me. I was like, wait a minute, I wrote that down the wrong way. So there are several opportunities. And what other types of films like this are you planning to show in coming weeks or coming months?
Well, the third film for this festival was it's called Female Pleasure, which we thought wouldn't get through the censors, but yeah, here we are. So that's really it talks about five women addressing different elements of their culture, including religion. Talks about genital mutilation and various different controversial topics. But it's about empowerment and how they are taking things in control in their own small communities and trying to make a difference for that.
And is that an Asian-produced movie?
No, it's not. Yeah, okay. But it has a Japanese character with it. So there are five different women that are profiled. So a Catholic, a Jewish, a Buddhist, and a Hindu. Yeah, so it has that diversity in that. But it's not an Asian-produced film.
Right, interesting. Yeah. And the today, the screening of Half the Picture at 4:30 p.m., is that sold out?
No, it's not sold out. So the tickets are still available.
Great. Yeah. So everyone can head over to
everyone,
the projector.
Everyone, not just women, but also...
Yes. No, I was going to make that point.
Yeah. That's good,
I was
Jasmine.
Going to ask you, Prashant, because I haven't obviously seen a documentary yet. I intend to. What was, as the only man in the room who's seen it, what was your takeaway from watching these female dominated movies, if you like, documentaries?
Well, frankly, I mean, it's something that we have been sensitized to in a way. This conversation has been happening in terms of, you know, female makers being overlooked, even recently in the César Awards. With Polanski getting his best director.
I'm staggered by that, but that's a whole other stage.
So, yeah, the box office signage, which is still on at the projector now, it's called Portrait of a Polanski on Fire. That's a reference to Céline Sciamma's film. It's something that we are aware, but we felt that we needed to talk a bit more and delve deeper because there are only certain things that you know, oh, this is wrong, but what can we do about it is the other thing that we wanted to address. And this is where we wanted to bring in the panel to come in to add value in the local context. What the film-going community can do and contribute.
Jasmine, can I just ask you quickly on that? I've often felt, and many people have written this, that men get a lot more chances than women to fail, to mess up in the arts, in cinema. For example, if a female director has a box office so-called bomb, that's it. But a man can keep having bomb after bomb after bomb and get more chances. And I'm thinking of Roman Polanski, for example. I mean, there's a man who's had lots and lots of chances. Yeah. Harvey Weinstein, obviously, lots and lots of chances until he went to prison this week.
Yeah.
Do you feel that in the industry, women just cannot fail as much as men?
It's
that yardstick again, isn't it?
Exactly. You're held up to a different sort of measurement, right? And I mean, I think, you know, to put yourself in the same shoes, would you like that if somebody has to shutter a business and everybody looks at that guy and goes, he's a man, and because he shuttered the business, we shouldn't give opportunities to men anymore. Mm. And having that burden of like representing your gender, you know, or having everything pointed just at the fact that, oh, well, okay, then if that was not a box office hit, then therefore we shouldn't take a gamble on any women anymore. And I think that kind of flatness of thinking, that kind of lack of imagination, that kind of understanding of different people's talents, and the everybody comes with a different package, right? Mm. I think that's wasting a lot of opportunities.
Well, we certainly hope that this screening today of Half the Picture and the subsequent conversation starting at 4:30 p.m. will do something to go a little bit further in opening the discussion and changing things here.
Yeah, and I got to say, I think if you love the movies, you'll really enjoy this documentary as well.
Great.
Because I think what was great was like previewing it already, the number of films which are like with classic moments that jump out, because it's people like Penelope Spheeris who did Wayne's World and The Decline of the Western Civilization. You know, you see Wonder Woman, you see all these movies and you go like, what? Women have done amazing films. They are big, you know. Yeah, you know, because there were a lot of like great classic moments, whether it's slapstick or drama or thrillers, right? That you see so much on screen, and it's going to make you stop and go like, oh, a woman did that.
Point Break is one of the best action movies I have ever seen.
Catherine Bigelow,
and it's Catherine Bigelow.
Right, exactly.
All right, our thanks to Jasmine Ng, a filmmaker and co-founder and current president of the Singapore Association of Motion Picture Professionals, and the first vice president of AWARE, and Prashant Somasundaram, general manager of The Projector. Thanks so much for coming in today. We hope lots of people show up this afternoon at 4:30 for Half the Picture.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
See you at the movies.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg.
or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.